Beautiful. So we have another episode of the Becoming Cosmically You podcast. And today we have Brandy Walker with us. So Brandy, let us know what you do and where you come from.
Hi, yes, thank you for having me. I am based in Chicago, Illinois. I am a life coach and I help people go further and forward in the direction of their dreams.
Ah, brilliant. I love that. Very concise and to the point. So what methods? Oh, my camera's a little shaky. I don't know why that's happening. What methods or what kind of clients are you working with at the moment, Brandy?
Yeah, so I mainly work with people who are transitioning from one thing to another, whether that's them pivoting in their career, they're getting out of it and trying to move on, they're starting something new, they are really to reinvent, so to speak, and transform and adapt to demands of people isolating. I want to continue to live, and they're ready for it.
Beautiful. I think we've got some interference. There's the sound was going out a bit there, so I'm hoping people could hear that. So you help people grow confident in their authenticity. What kind of things do you see when people come to you about standing in their authentic selves?
When to me, they're either incredibly from trying to hold society standards, trying to adhere to what else or friends should do, they should be. They are tired, they're mentally and trying to keep up this facade. Worried about the right come to me, but I've been entirely. I'm not sure what's going to happen next. I'm not sure, so if I quit my job and pursue entrepreneurship, I don't know if I'll make it. I don't know what my life is going to be like, after leaving this relationship. We've been together X amount of years, and I don't know how to be alone. I don't know what to do next. So there's a great amount of fear that people come to me with. And so a lot of what I work with people on is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and really understanding, that change is a process, and that process looks different for everyone, and it often looks a lot different than we expect, right? Making the decision is one part of it. And typically, by the time someone comes to me, they made a decision to change, right? I'm not forcing anyone to do anything they don't want to do. They decided that this is what they want. And it takes time for them to actually get there. And that journey of what that looks like can be hard. For some people, it can be easy. It's what they've, been needing to do in their life. And so they find the process becomes easy for them because they're actually, owning their decisions and making steps forward, and it's freeing for them. But people often come to me with a lot of worry and a lot of fear.
I love that. And the fear of the unknown is a big one, isn't it? We all know what the present moment is, but we're not sure how things are going to work out. So how do you help people navigate through that kind of like big fear of the unknown?
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable at first because we have to face the fear, right? We have to name it, and then we have to sit with it, to be present in it, to know and understand it. I tell people that our emotions are they're temporary, right? But it's like entertaining a guest in your home, right? You invite them in, or sometimes people show up unannounced, right? And then you're figuring out, okay, how do I entertain this person? How do I get to know them? How do I either make them feel comfortable or make them feel uncomfortable enough that they're ready to leave on their own, right? And then I don't have to be the bad person that's kicking them out. So it's the same thing with emotions. Fear arrives at our door, and then we have to say, okay, now what do I do with this thing? So sitting people down and having them actually journal, work through, talk me through, what are they afraid of? Where this fear might be coming from, and now what do we do about it? Do we allow the fear to take over us? Do we use the fear and allow it to push us forward, right? Because the one thing that I tell people about fear, it doesn't necessarily go away. It might leave for a moment, but there are things that we are always going to be fearful about, right? And that depends on our experience and our upbringing, sort of how we deal with it, but we can really use fear to our advantage. So facing that fear and having them really like detail and outline, and I say it's very uncomfortable, right? It's like pulling teeth. We sit down with someone and we're mapping out what that fear actually looks like. Okay, you're afraid of moving forward. Why? Okay, well, this happened. Okay, how did you feel when that happened? What did you do in that moment? Who supported you? What resources did you have? Okay, so maybe you're afraid that, you know, you're making this decision, you have no one to support you. Okay, what would a support system look like for you? Right. And so we're just mapping these things out. Some people have fears that are, you know, traced back to their childhood. Some people are dealing with PTSD and it's undiagnosed and they don't realize it until they try to do something else. And they're saying, hey, every time I get to this point, I have this reaction. I drop out. I get overwhelmed. Why is this happening? Oh, well, you know, I had this traumatic event and I, you know, just brushed it under the rug and I never addressed it. Right. Some people really struggle with, when it comes to fear, really, they have a lot of fear of disappointing others. Mm. Right? The people in their lives have these expectations for them and what their life should be like, or, you know, they have been the support system for so many other people in their life. They are afraid that, you know, if they make a change, people will no longer need them, or if they need people, people won't be there for them. So much of what people do in life is tied to their identity. Mm. So people think, okay, I've been, you know, I went to school to be an accountant. I'm an accountant no matter what, right? Even though I feel like now, you know, I can use that knowledge to pursue something else. Well, if I'm no longer an accountant, will I still have these same friends? Mm. Right? Will people still respect me in this way? You know, what if I'm making a mistake? What if I don't have any other skills other than this, you know, skill set that I've been using? Right. What do I do? Who am I without this job or this title? Right. And so it really is a mapping out of getting all of those things out, really naming the fear and the emotions associated with it. It is a tangled web, I will say, but you have to untangle it in order to address it and move forward.
I love that. Really love that. And identity has come up a few times actually on the podcast with a few of the guests that we've had on that have been really successful and really wealthy actually, but when we kind of like spoke a little bit about their story, they came from either poor backgrounds or backgrounds where they were like the ethnic minority, you know, where they their identity was like the poor boy from Malaysia, you know, and they really had to like fight against that identity to change it. And it's quite fascinating what you're saying about identity and how we move for other people. I've always been called stubborn, so I've never done that. I've never Oh, I'm shaking as I'm laughing. I've never moved for other people, so I always find that fascinating really, that people would like do what other people want them to do. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I've been called stubborn as well. I think, you know, for a lot of people, when you're young, I think, you know, you're trying to figure out not only who you are, but like where you are, right? It's that placement of like, what world am I in? What family did I find myself in? Like, why am I here? What's going on? You're not so much searching for identity. But through that process, we get messages about how we should show up, right? If you're eating your food, and I say this, a lot of my friends have recently had babies like within the last year, right? So now they're kind of at the stage, some of them are at the stage where they're introducing new food to the baby, right? And if the baby eats it and they like it, it's, you know, all praise and high fives and everyone's happy, right? But if they give the baby something and the baby doesn't like it, you know, now they're frowning, right? And young children pick up on cues, right? If I do something and now mommy and daddy aren't smiling, maybe I did something wrong. Let me try it a different way. Let me not do that again, right? And so it's not always that people in our lives are telling us directly, you have to do what I say, you have to do the things that I like, but we oblige because we've gotten these messages about, you know, we're picking up on these cues of how people are responding to the things that we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Say, for instance, your friends say, hey, let's go out to dinner. And you're like, oh, I would love to go to this restaurant. And then your friends are kind of quiet, right? Some people, and I am one of those people, I'm like, great, so let's go to that restaurant that I want to go to and let's have fun. But some people are like, well, okay, well, what do you guys want, right? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of give into that. And I think some people do it to more of an extreme than other people, right? Some people immediately kind of, you know, let their guard down and say, okay, whatever you want, I'll do, right? And some people are like, well, no, actually, I do want this thing, and I'm okay if you don't want it too. We can go our separate ways. We can go, you know, we can go have dinner where we want to have dinner and then meet back up for the movie. Or some people will say, oh, I'll go wherever you go. And then they end up being disappointed. So mm-hmm. it's all about that, those messages that we get when we're very young. For a lot of people, that experience happens in school, right? How does your teacher react when you raise your hand and give the wrong answer? How do your parents react when you come home and you bring that spelling test and you only got one or two right? So it's a combination, an evolution, so to speak, of the messages that we get for how people respond to us.
Yeah, I love that because a lot of people will say things like, oh, well, you know, I had a really good childhood. I was brought up in a loving family and I had no trauma. But, you know, like you said, the messages and the cues that we receive do create like imprints. And they create so many memories and so many rules and patterns for us that oftentimes we're not even aware of everything that's going on, right? We just react, or I've got cat hair in my mouth. I've got my cat right next to me. I don't know if you've got animals, but like I'm like constantly picking out cat hair. But yeah, so like people I think are a little bit blind at times because they feel like,
mm-hmm.
unless it was something big that happened to me, then it's not going to affect me. But actually,
right.
everything affects you, right? Everything and
mm-hmm. everything. Everything. Yeah, that's why I say some people have PTSD of things that have not even happened to them, but things that they have experienced vicariously, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone, not a client of mine, but just in conversation with someone, and we were talking about school shootings. Right. And they had said, you know, I've never experienced a school shooting. And I said, you know, I've never experienced one personally. Like I've never been at a school where there has been a threat of any sort. But I very distinctly remember when Columbine happened. Right. Mm-hmm. Because it was kind of one of the first big kind of events where it was all over the news. Everyone was talking about it to figure out how to respond. And I said, because of that, I went through my schooling kind of paranoid, so to speak, right? I was always looking to see if I could spot the person that might, you know, mm-hmm. do something. When I went to college, I was at a bigger school. My high school is fairly small, but I went to a bigger school and I was always kind of hyper aware of my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
I attribute that to, you know, a lot of events, but I can name that one as something that definitely influenced my behavior. There are other things that, you know, influence people's behavior that doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation. We have positive connotations for how we're influenced, right? Like my family wasn't really big on birthday celebrations, right? But I have a friend who very much was. And, you know, I have this friend who they would just go, you know, completely all out. Like think of like my super sweet 16 used to be a show on MTV. Like they would put all their money and effort into birthday parties. And we had another friend who said, well, you know, they did regular birthday parties, but now as a mother, she's like doing all these elaborate things, right? Mm-hmm. You can be influenced by things, and it really depends on the person if it's positive or negative. Someone who is very much an introvert might look at those elaborate parties and say, oh my gosh, I never, you know, want to have anything like this. From a family where a lot of attention was placed on you as an introvert, you might, you know, become an adult who spends a lot of time alone, right? Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the person, how they're influenced by the experience. But there are so many experiences that definitely shape who we are, whether they happen to us directly or indirectly.
I love that. I love that perception. And I think the message that's coming through from my team is that, we get to choose as well, don't we? And we also get to ask ourselves, like you just said, about someone being introverted or extroverted. I'm one of those people that prefers to be at home with my cats, but there's certain things that I have to do for my business, like show up on video because people want to see me. It doesn't mean so I don't like it, but it's not like my favorite thing to do, but it's interesting because my team are just saying, well, you get to choose, and I think it's about navigating through this 3D reality is about choosing, but also being honest with yourself, right? And asking, is this something that I actually like or not? Or am I just doing it because I'm going along with it?
I think choice is very important. And what I have found with a lot of my clients is that they feel like they don't have choices. They're just going through the motions, right? They're going to work every day, coming home, cooking dinner, and starting over the next day. They don't feel like they're making a choice. And then something often happens. I always say there's a turning point. And sometimes this is this is the turning point is our choice, where we just decide, like, hey, this no longer works for me. Sometimes that choice is forced upon us. Like, people get physically sick from dealing with stress of certain situations, and they're sitting at home or they're sitting in the hospital, and then they say, you know what? I get it now. This no longer works for me. Sometimes people have been laid off from a job, or someone breaks up with them, or unfortunately, someone passes away, and then something clicks that says, okay, now I have to choose something different, right? And I think that can be hard. It can be hard because people aren't sure what to choose. I always say every day you have a choice, but if you've been making the same exact choice for the last however many years, trying to make a new choice can be hard. But there is a turning point. And I think sometimes, our intuition kind of calls out to us and is trying to nudge us and urge us in a certain way, and we don't listen, as you said earlier, until these big events happen, and then we're forced to listen. We're forced to sit down. We're forced to face whatever it is and then make that change.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, the universe is beautiful in that way because if you don't listen, usually you will burn everything down to shit around you. And I don't know if anyone has experienced that. I have so many times. We just sat in like a pile of cinders thinking, what the actual fuck just happened here? Like, I have no idea what just happened to me. And that is the thing, right? It's about listening to those nudges and being true with yourself and making decisions before you're pushed over the cliff.
I think it is that. And for some people, I often say, like, there's different types of people. Some people can see a disaster coming from a mile away. Some people, it has to be in close proximity for them to even pay attention. And some people have to be in the middle of that fire, fighting through that tornado before they really get what's actually happening. I try to get people to the point where they don't get there, right? Where we're in proximity and we can kind of see and expect things coming. But for some people, they have to face things head on. They have to really, be in the thick of it to really get it.
Yeah, I agree. And we're also different, right? We all do things completely a different way. So you said that you've got your transformation tribe. Do you want to explain a little bit more about your online community to us?
So my transformation tribe is the entryway to kind of working with me. I typically don't work with people one-on-one unless we've had some other kind of encounter, because it's really important to me that people are committed to doing the work. And what I have found in the past is that people are often looking for coaches to save them, right? Like, I go to my coach or I show up to therapy and you just, you fix it, right? That's kind of what they're looking for. So over the years, I started to develop kind of some other resources that people could utilize, where they can kind of start to do the work on their own before, we get in this one-to-one relationship. And that has helped both them and myself. If you're a business owner, you will understand. It has helped me tremendously. But I started the Transformation Tribe for people to be in community. Working, when I work with people one-on-one, it's really great, but I started to find that a lot of people don't have community. They're wanting to make this great change in their life, and either the people in their life currently don't support it, or they're just in a place where they don't have a lot of people who are on the same track as they are, which can be hard. This is especially, you know, for people who come to me and they're looking, you know, they've been struggling to lose weight, or they're trying to start a business and they just don't know anyone else who has been on that path. So I started the Transformation Tribe, and it's a place where folks can come together who are trying to transform in all kinds of different ways, but they have a supportive community of other people who are on a similar path that they can learn from. We meet every month, and it's kind of like, it's part social, but also part educational, because they just get together and they just want to talk. They just want to vent. They just want to know, you know, what each other is doing. They want to encourage each other. And I think on any kind of transformation journey, encouragement is so important, right? It's one thing when your coach is cheering you on, but when people in community with you recognize your progress, it makes a big difference. Right. It makes a huge difference. And so the tribe is that. It's that social aspect. It's them, you know, texting each other like, hey, good job. Or, you know, hey, we missed you last month. Where are you? It's that built in accountability. And then there's also trainings. I do. We have a monthly theme every month. And so I do a workshop with them. They send in questions kind of ahead of time, and I address those. I do some on the spot coaching. But it's just a way for people who have made the decision to transform, or as I like to say, reinvent themselves in their lives. They can come together with other people who have decided to do the same and find some support there.
Oh, wow. I love that. Such a beautiful feeling of the community that you're building. And yeah, again, encouragement sometimes is what people really need, because I think finding it oftentimes from your family just doesn't happen, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. And I say that to people, it's not that your family doesn't care, but, you know, one of the things I try to get people to understand, people have been in your life for a long time. They have gone through a lot with you, right? They have seen all of your ups and downs. And so they have been there every time you have started something new. And, you know, by the 50th time, they're not as excited as that first time. Mm-hmm. And we can't blame them for that, right? So you need a group of people who are going to get excited on that 50th time as if it was the first time, right? Encouraging you through. I don't think we should beat up our loved ones or even depend on them fully to give us the affirmation that we need all the time, because they do bear the brunt of support throughout our lives.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I love that concept. So where can people find you, Brandy, if they want to stalk you or find out more about what you do?
Yes, stalk me. I am around. You can go to brandywashere.com and find out everything that I'm doing. Join the Transformation Tribe, get on my email list, follow me on social. I also have a podcast. You can check that out, but everything at brandywashere.com.
I love that. And are there any other messages that you want to leave with the listeners before we call it a wrap?
Yeah, I would just say to listeners, you know, wherever you are in your life, if you're the person who is thinking about transforming, you want to break free from the life that you've been living to live the life that you deserve, or if you're a person who is observing or witnessing someone's transformation, I would say, you know, take a moment to encourage someone. Sometimes when we're on a journey, we think, you know, okay, it's all about me. But I think it's very helpful for people to encourage other people. Social media is really amazing in that we can seek out people for anything, right? Make your social media your vision board. Follow people who inspire you. Get around people who are doing things that you want to do. You know, use your fear to propel you forward. If you're afraid, just do it anyway. That is what I would say to listeners today.
I love that. I love that. It's so important if to understand that fear is going to always be there. You just got to find a way of moving through it. So thank you for that, Brandy. I'm going to stop recording now. So I'm going to thank our listeners and watchers, and then we'll have a little chat afterwards.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.